Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, reading various verses of chapter 1 and chapter 2. This is our first lesson for today, this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, you turn on the TV, open up the newspaper, or click on your favorite news website, and what do you see? This world, our country, seemingly falling apart. Murders and other acts of violence are rampant. It seems as if every week or so there is a shooting somewhere or a bombing someplace. Marriage in the eyes of many is no longer between a man and a woman till death. Children grow up without parents. About 1 million babies are murdered in our country each year under the guise of women's health. TV shows and movies are becoming more and more immoral. People are more brazen in their sin and wickedness. You can drive down many of the streets in big cities in Michigan and see decay and desolation, whole neighborhoods that are gone, results of years of neglect and abuse, and a struggling economy. People seem to be more self-centered, caring more about themselves instead of the good of others. They care more about what they want than what God wants. Sports and other forms of entertainment are becoming increasingly popular, which is nothing wrong, but it's often at the expense of God's Word, leading people away from Christ. Race relations are getting worse. Whole communities are rebelling against the people who are there to serve and protect them. People who commit crimes sometimes get away with barely a slap on the wrist, while other people are imprisoned falsely. There's sometimes very little justice. Those in positions of authority often don't care about their people, but only lining their own pockets. Some of them will mistreat the poor and exploit them for their own political gain. Laws are being passed in certain countries, even here, that prohibit or hurt Christians and keep them from obeying God and His Word. It seems as if Christians throughout the world are being persecuted instead of guarded and defended by their governments. When we take a look at the world around us, there is much strife and wickedness and violence even in our country today. I'm sure that you can think of other things that popped up into your mind that indicate that this world, our country in general, seem to be falling apart. And I'm not one who considers himself like some old man who considers himself that the good old days were actually all that good and less sinful and more people obeyed God. The prophet Habakkuk felt the same way in his world. That his world as if it were falling apart all around him. Now at the time of his ministry, the Assyrians had already come and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. The Assyrians came and destroyed all the cities, and they took the people away into exile, those ten tribes of Israel, and those 10 tribes were essentially lost to history. It seems as if by the time Habakkuk wrote this, that the Babylonians had already defeated the Assyrians. Not long after this book, the Babylonians would defeat the Egyptians, Nebuchadnezzar would become leader, and then he would attack and destroy Jerusalem. During Habakkuk's time, Jehoiakim was leader of Judah, the southern kingdom. All that was left of God's chosen nation were the two southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah, in and around Jerusalem. Jehoiakim was a wicked king. He was a under the control of the Egyptian government. So he heavily taxed his own people so he can pay tribute to the Egyptians. But before he gave the Egyptians money, he took some and put it in his own pocket so he could become rich. He also enslaved his own people, forcing them to build cities for his name. He bowed down and worshipped false gods, even sacrificing his own children to Baal, and encouraged other people to worship those same false gods. Jeremiah was a contemporary of Habakkuk, and the king persecuted Jeremiah. He threw him into cisterns. He threw him in jail. And when Jeremiah wrote down a scroll of inspired words by God, Jehoiakim burned that scroll. Urijah was another prophet who spoke against Jehoiakim. And so Jehoiakim had the prophet of God murdered. This is the world that Habakkuk lived in. He saw all these atrocities. He saw the king and the leaders of the people and the wickedness and the violence that was going on. Well, Habakkuk's book is a unique one. He did not give a message directly to the people from God. Instead, Habakkuk wrote a conversation that he had with God, a dialogue between him and God, an exchange. We get a good feel for this dialogue and two excerpts that are in our text for today. What does he do? Well, Habakkuk complains. He complains about all the violence that he saw in his country. Especially in verse 3 of chapter 1, he complains about the sorrows and troubles that he is forced to see, the devastation and violence that are all around him. The next verse, he'll complain about injustice and the oppression of the leaders against the people. There's strife and contention in his world. There's all sorts of wickedness, all sorts of sinful things going on in his world. So Habakkuk complained to God. He wanted to know why. Why was all these things happening? Why did God seem to not care about them? Why didn't God do something about all the wickedness and evil going on among his nation, among his children? Why did it seem as if God didn't seem to care? As if he turned a blind eye to wickedness and sin. Why wasn't God doing anything about it? What are your thoughts about how the world is going today? Perhaps your thoughts are very similar to Habakkuk's. Why all this wickedness in the world? There's so much violence, there's so much corruption, there's so much sinfulness and wickedness. Why does God not seem to care? Why doesn't God just punish those unbelievers? Why do the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous, while his believers, suffer? Wouldn't it be good for God just to punish everybody? Wouldn't it be good for God to make sure that everyone simply obeys him and does what pleases him and punish those somehow in some way? The Lord heard Habakkuk's plea. And he answered him. In between our two sections of Habakkuk, later on in chapter 1, the Lord answered Habakkuk and said, no, I see the wickedness. I see all the evil that's going on. And I'm going to take care of it. And this is how I'm going to take care of it. The Babylonians are going to come, led by Nebuchadnezzar. And Babylonia is going to come and destroy this nation, destroy Jerusalem, and they'll take the people away into exile. That wasn't the answer Habakkuk wanted. Why would God, Habakkuk says, why would you take wicked people more wicked than your children, and have them destroy your nation, including your children, and have your children, your obedient children, taken into exile? Then we get the second half of our text, chapter 2. Habakkuk makes that plea. Then he waits. He waits for the Lord's reply. And eventually the Lord did reply through a vision. God's answer to wickedness and violence is not always going to be our answer. The way God deals with wicked and adulterous and sinful nations is not always going to be the way we want Him to deal with it. But we know the Lord controls His creation. And everything that He does is going to turn out for the benefit of His children. So like Habakkuk, we trust the Lord knows what He's doing and is going to take care of things whenever and however He deems fit. Habakkuk waited for the Lord's answer. The Lord gave him an answer, as I said, through a vision. We too have our concerns. We too go to God in prayer. But we don't need to wait for God's answer. God already speaks to us. Here He speaks to us through His Word. In His Word, He tells us how to live in a world full of wickedness, sin, and rebellion. He instructs us. First thing He tells us, don't join in their wickedness. Don't join in their sin. Don't join in their rebellion and oppression and injustice and so on and so forth. Fight the temptation. But stay close to Him and His Word. In times of persecution, tells us to stay firm. Stand firm to the end, and you will receive the crown of life. He also tells us to live at peace with one another. Even though there's strife, even though there's contention, even if the government might persecute us and harm us, we still show love, honor, respect, and obedience to others. But much more important than God instructing us how to live in a sinful world is God comforting and encouraging us through His Word as we live in a world full of sin and wickedness. How do you comfort Habakkuk? Well, first off, He heard Habakkuk. He did not turn a blind eye to wickedness and sin. He wasn't ignoring the situation. He knew the plight. He knew everything that was going on. He heard Habakkuk's prayer. And they weren't going to get away with it. God knows our prayers. He knows what it's like living in this sinful world. He sees the wickedness. He sees the rebellion. He sees all the evil. But He has not left us. We aren't fending for ourselves. The Lord is still in control. He still knows everything that's going on. And He uses everything to accomplish His plan and for the benefit of His children. But there's so much more encouragement in His Word. What does the Lord tell Habakkuk at the end of our text? The righteous will live by faith. In the end, whether it's the end of your life, whether it's the end of the world, you will live. Even though you die, you will live in heaven. Forever with the Lord. And that life in heaven, free from sin, free from the effects of sin, free from sorrow, free from injustice, free from evil, free from wickedness, free from persecution, free from strife, free from contention and violence. A perfect life. A life that lasts forever. Not just 70 or 80 years or more as we have the strength. And this life is yours because of Christ. Christ is the one who suffered and died. Christ is the one who suffered injustice as He was handed over, betrayed, to be sentenced to death. It was Christ who took our sins upon Himself. Christ who had done none wrong, who became guilty of all our sins, and was forsaken by His Heavenly Father as He became guilty of everything we have done wrong. Christ forgave us. Christ paid the price for us. It's Christ who rose from the dead, who defeated death, Christ who gave us his perfect life. His obedience given to us so that we are made righteous. Righteous means to be perfect or holy, something we aren't on our own, but we are through Christ. When God looks at us, he doesn't see us as sinners, but he sees us as his pure and holy children, righteous in his sight. The righteous will live by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is true God and true man. Faith in Jesus Christ as the world's one and only Savior. And this faith that believes in Jesus Christ is a gift of God given to us through the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit. We will live not because of anything we have done or will ever do, but only because of Christ received through faith in him, also a gift of God. Christ and the Lord has taken care of everything so that we will live. And that is where our comfort and encouragement comes from. As we live in this sinful world, as we live in this world full of wickedness and those who rebel against God, our comfort and encouragement is in Christ. That's the Lord's ultimate answer to Habakkuk. Look at all this wickedness and rebellion. Habakkuk says, do something about it. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you heaven. Free from wickedness. Free from rebellion. The answer to the world's wickedness and rebellion is not to make this world a better place, but to make a different world. A perfect place. Because the bottom line is, this world is still filled with sin. We'll never get rid of sin. We'll never get rid of wickedness and wicked people. So instead of looking to this world and looking to worldly means to make this world a better place, instead we look for the world to come. Heaven. We know that in the end, the Lord will bring his judgment. He may or may not choose to punish wickedness while on this earth. And even he does, he often does it behind the scenes. We may not even know what he's doing. But in the end, we know that he will come on the last day for Judgment Day. But for us, he doesn't just come for judgment. He comes with salvation for all who believe. And so what do we do? What's our duty as Christians as we wait for this day of judgment and this day of salvation to come? We prepare our hearts and minds by being in his word, that we may believe and live forever. And we also prepare the hearts and minds of others. We share God's word. Now, if you want to make the world a better place, if you want to get rid of or lessen the corruption, the wickedness, the sin going on in this world, well, then you got to share the gospel. You can't expect unbelievers to live as believers. You can't expect about people who don't believe in God to care what God says in his word. But when people hear the gospel, when Holy Spirit works faith into their hearts, not only are they forgiven, but then they strive to live a life as God wants them to live. So even though our focus and the answer to life's wickedness is not this world, the answer is heaven, we want to change this world, make it a better place. The only way to do that is through the gospel. That's our job. That's our duty as we live on this earth, to spread the gospel. Perhaps your job and duty is to defend the truth against attacks, to stand up for God's word. Maybe it's to point out the sin and wickedness of others that they may realize it and repent and turn to God. And all this has in mind God's coming judgment so they may repent, believe, and through that faith live forever. Like the prophet Habakkuk, we live in a sin-filled world, wicked, that it may seem as if it's on the brink of destroying itself. We may wish that God would punish all wicked doers and sinners and make this world good again. God will punish the wicked world whenever and however He wants, and especially on the last day. As we wait patiently for the Lord, and we share His word with others. But Christ's answer to wickedness is not to change the world, but to change hearts. Christ's answer to wickedness is not to focus on this world. His answer, the righteous will live by faith. A perfect life in heaven, not a better life on earth. Salvation by Christ, received through faith. That's the answer to the world's wickedness. What better answer can He give? Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.